Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. If you find yourself needing legal representation, you're going to want the best, and Marcos Garza and his team, they are the best. They handle criminal injury. They handle criminal defense, personal injury, and DUI defense. Before you say guilty, say Garza, GarzaLaw.com, or call them at 865-540-8300. 24/7, 365, either method will get you on the phone with someone who can help you. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. Marcos has got your six. He's got your back. Let's get to the episode, talking some Vol baseball, a little Vol basketball and football, and then we take your questions. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his hair cut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you live on, well, recorded, I guess, if you're not on the Discord. Let's try that again. Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you on Thursday, the end of March, March 31st. Seth Hughes joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. How are you doing?
A little sleepy right now. A little sleepy. It's always tough when I come home and like do these pods. Like, I don't want to have the light on because it gets a little hot and the fan's on. But when I come in here and it's dark, I get sleepy. So I'm going to turn the light on and deal with it. But how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Good to hear your voice as always.
Yeah, we were going to do one yesterday, but had some technical difficulties, and then the weather got to us, so we weren't able to do it. But here we are on this Thursday. Feels like it happened a while ago, but Tennessee baseball, number one in the country.
Number one in the country. Consensus number one.
You said we were going to win the series down at Ole Miss. I do not recall you calling a sweep, but we kicked their ass.
Yeah, I am still surprised at how ineffectual Ole Miss was against us. Like, I thought Tennessee was better, but I didn't expect Ole Miss to look so hapless. I mean, like, because that's what they looked. They looked hapless. I mean, they were completely outclassed from the very beginning.
I did love that even though they realized they were outclassed, they just kept making excuses the entire time.
I cannot believe that DeLuca guy ran his mouth like that Friday night.
It was amazing.
What is going through your mind? I mean,
and they turned around and did it again on Saturday as well.
And the best thing about the Saturday game was that Tennessee didn't hit one home run.
Yeah, yeah. Just came out and just small ball them to death at the beginning of the game and kicked their ass that way.
Like, we had Evan Russell doing a slash hit and run, and then we had Courtland Lawson bunting. It had to be on purpose just to slap them in the face. It had to be a troll by the boys. This myth that Tennessee is so good because of their home ballpark and that they are, you know, it allows them to hit so much home runs, and that's why they win these games. It's so stupid. It's not true at all. Like, the reason why Tennessee got swept in Omaha last year isn't because they didn't hit home runs because they were playing a bigger ballpark. They didn't hit the ball hard in Omaha last year. And when they did hit the ball hard against Virginia, it was right at people. It had nothing to do with playing in this huge ballpark. I mean, this idea that we're a product of our ballpark is so stupid, and hopefully last weekend it's some it's something to dismiss this just, it's so dumb. I mean, it's like when people were saying Hennon Hooker couldn't play in the cold, and then Brother Hennon went out and dominated Kentucky. It's stupid. It's just stupid. It's lazy. It's dumb.
He didn't look good against Vanderbilt during the bowl game, but the good news is the SEC championship will not be in the cold. It'll be in a dome.
It'll be in the dome. It'll be in the dome. So it's just dumb. I mean, Tennessee, like, I am surprised how hapless Ole Miss was. Like, yeah, Ole Miss is pitching, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not as good as it needs to be. But, like, they couldn't even touch our pitchers. Their offense couldn't do anything. What was the – we outscored them 26-4?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, I mean, just a total – just – that was about as embarrassing as it gets, right? I mean that was embarrassing. I mean, just –
their fans were going through it afterwards. They're ready to fire their
Yeah, they coach hate that dude. They hate that dude.
They're ready to run him out, and they're talking about how much money they spend and how he can't break through. And it was a humbling experience for them, it seemed like.
He's been to Omaha one time, I think, in all these years. He's been to Omaha
Which
one
is
time.
Amazing considering how good they've been.
Yeah, he's been to Omaha one time. I think they basically were just begging LSU to take him last year, and LSU decided not to. Yeah, I mean, it was just, like, I think it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think Ole Miss is, like, as terrible as they came across, and I don't think Tennessee is, like, the greatest thing ever. I mean, I think it's obviously somewhere in the middle. I'll be interested to see. I mean, Vandy, how do you lose that series, South Carolina, Vanderbilt?
You said you would take 3-3 in the next two series. We already have our three wins.
I definitely would not now. I will be and I think I'll be disappointed if they only get one out of three this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It feels like it would be a letdown to lose the series. It feels like the expectations have shifted. In large part, it's a combination, right? Like, we kicked Ole Miss's ass. We look elite. We got Brother Tidwell back, at least going to be in the bullpen for an arm in case you need someone to give you a couple innings there. Or maybe it's just going to be a high leverage situation. I don't know. But and then you combine that, like you said, with Vanderbilt losing two in a row against South Carolina. That combined makes me think that I need Tennessee to get at least two out of these three.
I need Tennessee to get at least two out of three, too, because I'm thinking that, well, Tennessee could be halfway through the SEC schedule and have the conference locked up.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get two out of three, like it's almost a – I don't want to say insurmountable lead, but you would have the East on lock.
Yep. I would be disappointed if they don't win the series, as you know, I mean, that might sound crazy to some people, whatever. I don't really care. I would be disappointed if they don't win the series. I think that I expect Tennessee to take the series. I would not even be like too stunned at a sweep. I mean, I don't expect a sweep because I mean you're gonna lose some games, but like I expect Tennessee to win the series. So, yeah, I mean,
You can't say you would be stunned at a sweep, but obviously if you tell us last week that you're about to go 6-0 at Ole Miss and at Vandy, we would have been probably pretty stunned last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I would have been last week. Now, you know, it's like, well...
Game's changed. Math has changed.
Yeah, it's just they seem to be better, even better than we thought they were last week.
The pitching, I'm not going to say worried, but... You had to see it in SEC play on the road because keep in mind, like, we didn't even really have to go on the road last year. We didn't have to go on the road in 2020 in the SEC, right? So a lot of, like, Vitello's boys hadn't really been tested on the road in the SEC in front of fans against great teams. Like, our road schedule in the SEC last year was pretty weak. We had all of our hard series at home, you know, Arkansas, Vandy, Florida. So I was a little like, I need to see these guys go on the road at a place like Ole Miss, and can you perform? And then we went on the road, and the pitching was awesome, the hitting was awesome, and the only thing that gives me a little pause is like, we're still a little sloppy in the field.
We suck in the infield right now. I'm a little concerned
about
the bullpen.
That hurt us in Omaha last year.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the infield. I mean, about the bullpen too.
I think adding Tidwell will help alleviate some of those concerns.
Yeah, this is like, you know, I believe Sewell will get it together, you know, and be like what he was. I mean, the last half of the season last year, he was unhittable.
Do college baseball guys come out and get taken out in the middle of a count?
Not often. Not often. He basically sprinted into the clubhouse.
Yeah, he just went immediately and left.
So, you know, but this is twice now when we've needed him. He's been really bad. I mean, but Dolander, Saturday night, Dolander was the pitcher that I thought we were getting. You know, like he Saturday night was what I thought we were getting in him, where he went deep into the game. As long as he's gone all season, he was throwing a 97, 98, 99 mile an hour fastball. The slider was really, really good. They could not touch him. He was what I thought we were getting, and I guess at this point we should have just not surprised by how good Chase Burns is.
No, he's a superstar.
Yeah, he is. It is.
And Beam just simply doesn't give up base runners.
And Beam is another guy that's like, yeah, he throws really hard too. I mean, it just doesn't seem as hard because of the other two guys. But it's like, he almost looks average with his stuff compared to the other two starters. But this is back-to-back weekends in SEC play where nobody has touched him. Like he,
and not only that, he hasn't given up any walks.
He looked better against Ole Miss than he did against South Carolina when he had like a perfect game through seven or whatever it was. You know, he just, yeah, no, nobody gets on base. I mean, it is crazy to me that Burns wasn't a higher-rated prospect. I mean, I know he was like a fringe first-rounder, but like, why was this guy like not a top 20 player? Why is he in college baseball?
We're glad he is, but yeah, you would think that with that stuff, he would not be.
I think you said it perfectly. He's a superstar. Like, it's that simple. I mean, he is, and Ole Miss did not even come close to hitting him. Like, they did not even come close to touching him. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what a team full of Major League Baseball players will do Friday night. Because Burns just looks incredible. I mean, it's shocking. But like I said, at this point, we're just not even surprised by it.
It's a big opportunity on ESPN2. You know, Tennessee can grab even more of the college baseball and just really baseball fans in general can grab more of their attention if they're able to have Burns be himself and have a couple home runs and you get to show your personality and bring out the pimp code and all that. Like, you know, you can be the talk of the sports, you know, the sports timeline if you perform well again on Friday and continue to just make people very, very upset.
I really like ESPN putting these games on. They got a game on ESPNU tonight.
It's about damn time, ESPN.
We're on ESPN2 tomorrow night, and then we're on ESPN. We're on SEC Network Saturday night. Like, it's just nice not to have to stream it. I know that sounds like such a pitiful thing to complain about, but it's just nice to be on TV and not have to.
I hate streaming it. I appreciate having the option, but I hate having to go into the app and not being able to turn the channel during commercial breaks. It makes me miserable.
So it's really sweet. We're on ESPN2 tomorrow night.
Any thoughts on anything related to Tennessee basketball or football as we stand?
Well, it sounds like
basketball. Go ahead.
It sounds like the hype man he's got it going on in recruiting.
He's got it going. Bravo to him.
Which is hilarious to me. It's hilarious to me that they have all this momentum, but I mean, good for him. Like, he's as likable a guy as it gets. It's just funny that, like, after all of this, you know, we're out here on the cusp of getting all these highly rated players from out of state, as well as locking down the in-state guys. He really has it. He really has some momentum. I was thinking this week, like, I'm starting to get excited about seeing Brother Hendon sling that rock this fall. I've already forgotten about the bowl game. If you told me what happened in the bowl game, I wouldn't remember. I don't even know who he played. I've forgotten about the bowl game. I definitely don't remember the Vanderbilt game. I don't even know
I was with my family doing Thanksgiving, and it wasn't pretty.
Like, where did we even play Vandy at last year? Was it in Nashville?
I believe it was Knoxville.
I don't remember anything about that game, that's for sure. The last Vandy game I remember is Eric Gray going for like 300 yards. Actually, I take that back. I remember Pruitt losing there with Ty Chandler.
I remember getting a pick six in Pruitt's last year because they were so undermanned, and I do remember Bryce Thompson got him a pick six, and that was like the only way we could really score. So,
So, the last thing I remember about our college football season is that first drive against Georgia, the Velus Jones touchdown. That's the last thing I remember about our college football season. So
I remember Joe Milton coming in and getting us the garbage time touchdown to hit the team total over, or at least maybe hit the actual full over for the game. So shout out to the pharmacist for coming through.
The pharmacist, this week, Brent Hubbs on the VolQuest podcast said that still nobody throws it better than Joe Milton, a.k.a. the pharmacist, a.k.a. Baby Cam does every day in practice. He seems like he's going to stick around and try to win the 2023 starting job, which is good news. We're all pining for him to get one more chance.
3 years in the making.
But I'm getting pretty excited about this.
I saw you posting that in the Discord. You're getting a little woolly, as they say.
And it's so early, and it's just because I think that...
Is it the recruiting? Has the recruiting got you on board?
The recruiting got me started being excited, but then it's like our offense is going to be really good, and I just really like Hendon Hooker. Like, I really, really like him just as a person. He seems very cool. He's just a very likable guy. Cedric Tillman is the same way, and we have them both, and I think it's just like... We're going to be able to score some points, so I'm excited. I'm excited about seeing Brother Hendon sling that rock.
Sounds like the chili's hot.
The chili's warm.
It's a little too nice outside for your chili to be so hot right now, Seth.
It's a little early.
It's now hitting spring, and the chili's already simmering.
I know, and it's a little too early. I need to dial it back a little bit. Need to
pace yourself, my friend. You got five months.
Need to go read the game recap of the ball game and try to remember what happened. But yeah, I guess we could talk about Eric Gray maybe coming back.
So what's the story here? Like, Eric Gray is going to finish up, graduate this semester at Oklahoma, and then come back as a grad transfer and not have to sit out a year? Is that essentially the
plot
there?
Something like that. And I think it might even be that he's not going to graduate until the summer, so he would, like, be showing back up at fall camp maybe even.
Oh, okay.
Apparently he's come to Knoxville to work out with, like, Jabari Small. And
so he misses the boys.
Maybe Darnell Wright. Austin Price has said some stuff about it, that he wants to come back, but there are a lot of moving pieces there.
Is it moving pieces in the sense that, like, Heupel has to – we're going to do, like, the sports movie thing where, like, he has to win the respect over of all the captains and they have to, like, know that he wants to be back on the team? Or is it moving parts like, oh, we're still kind of getting investigated by the NCAA over maybe some stuff that you were attached to?
I would imagine it's both of that, as well as, like, he has to do a lot in the classroom to finish up. Like, there's, like, he wants to come back, which I guess is the most – that's the first hurdle. But there's, like, a lot of things that have to happen for it to happen.
Never should have exit.
He never should have exit. And I think that's basically how he feels from what Austin Price has said. Well, I would take him back gladly.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he would feel the same way if Lincoln Riley didn't bolt on him, but still.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? It would be a huge addition to our running back room, and I'll always take more talent on our team versus less talent.
Yep. Agreed. So that'll be nice.
People forget Juwan Jennings sort of kind of like got away from the team too at the end of his, at Butch's last year. So we welcomed him back with open arms, and now look at him, thriving. Brother Eric Gray can be the same.
Catching touchdowns from Jimmy G. I guess that happens. I guess that could happen. And then, we're going to take this wide receiver transfer, I guess, Brew McCoy. I don't really know how to feel about him. I don't know. He seems like he has all the talent in the world, but, you know, he's had some issues, to say the least.
He's had some issues. He's bounced around, transferred around. Seemed like he just is a little bit of a diva in that sense. And then there was the whole Title IX get kicked out of USC thing, right?
Yeah. But on the flip
side, I don't think we should just, like, gloss over, but still, I don't really know the details. All I know is USC kicked him out. His girlfriend or lover or whomever would not really testify against him, so they couldn't really prosecute him at all, but they said, like, hey, we still feel like you are a danger to our students here, so you're not coming back.
Yeah, I guess the way I feel about it is kind of like there's a reason why that this guy, who by all accounts is super talented, there's a reason why Tennessee is, like, the only team really going after him.
Well, today I did see our Discord recruiting expert, user Brooks, say that apparently, like, Oregon and Alabama now in on him.
Okay,
as well.
So now teams are reaching out to him because, like,
according to our insider user Brooks,
who we love,
aka Brooks Travis,
he hi-hats me every time I'm in public in the same place with him, but I still love him. Because like the last 2 months,
it's kind of ironic because you do that to people all the time too. So it is kind of nice to see someone else do it to you.
For the last 2 months, if you said something just then, I didn't hear you, so my audio cut out. But for the last,
I said it's fitting because you do that to people all the time.
And my audio is going crazy.
And apparently, I guess it wasn't User Brooks who said that. It was Austin Price was on the radio with Jason Swain and said that Oregon, Bama, and Ole Miss are pursuing as well. So
okay, so at least other teams are going after him. That's good. That
it
is
make it feel a little bit better because it did feel like it was just us.
For the last 2 months, it's been like just us because this has been going on since like the end of January. With Tennessee. I mean, it's been nobody but Tennessee has been going after him, and it's kind of like, you know, for one thing, it was like, okay, if nobody's going after you but Tennessee, then why have you not committed yet? That's like a red flag to me. And now that other teams are involved, it's kind of like, well, you know, if he's not committed yet, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Basketball-wise, Kenny Chandler in California getting ready for the draft, apparently. Still holding out some hope that you could put some NIL money together, but I feel like if you're like out of school just training for the draft would kind of complicate things on coming back to school. I don't know, like I don't know how much schoolwork he's doing out there to stay eligible or whatever.
Yeah, I mean I just think it's the best path forward for UT fans is just assume he's gone.
Yeah. I was a little bit hopeful, but you know, I'll drop my 15% down to 10% because I do think that like he's going to get good grades, and when I say good grades, I mean, you know, for his draft, combine stuff, and I think he'll be gone.
Yeah, I'm a little, like, you know, the Ringer put out a mock draft, like, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, that, like, didn't have him in the first round.
But everywhere else has had him, like, middle of the first round.
Which is, like, it's so weird, like, that mock draft just kind of took me by surprise. I mean, I think he's gone, and good for him. I still think Tennessee will be a top 10 team next year without him. That is my prediction. I think Tennessee will be ranked in the top 10 next year. I'm not saying the whole way through. I'm saying at some point they will be. I think they'll be.
So not preseason, just at some point in the season.
At some point in the season. It's kind of like what was Tennessee ranked at the preseason this year. We all thought it was too low, and it turned out we were right. Like, because Tennessee finished ranked fifth. Like, kind of like that. I mean, I think.
Although I will say, you know, at the first half of the season, it seemed like we were rated too high, but yes.
But at Reed's Ranch, we played the long game.
It is true. We know that a basketball season is long. There are many ebbs and flows.
So I feel like it's that. I bet Tennessee's ranked around 15th preseason next year. I am intrigued by both Julian Phillips, the decommit from LSU, and also Brandon Murray, the transfer from LSU.
So Phillips is a five-star that decommitted once Will Wade got fired. And
Brandon Murray, who started every single game for them this year as a freshman. I think he led them in minutes played. He averaged like 10 a game as a freshman. He was kind of their glue guy. He just did everything really well.
He was a top 100 prospect, and he does kind of fit the role of what I think Tennessee really needs, which is some help for Josiah doing other basketball things besides scoring. Like, I thought we really needed someone to help spell him at times this year, and he's kind of the same mold there, a 6'5 guy that can, like you said, do it all.
Yeah. He just seemed to do everything very well, or everything really well. He seemed like a very, like, he seemed like a Rick Barnes guy. Is what it came across to me as. Like, he's very gritty. And Tennessee's been contacting him. Tennessee's already reached out to him. And then Julian Phillips, like, he officially visited Tennessee. Those were one of his five official visits in the first place. Like, Tennessee was in deep on him for a long time, and he chose LSU. So, you know, Tennessee sent the whole staff, the entire staff went to see him, like, a week ago. Last Thursday, Tennessee sent the entire staff to see Phillips. So, I expect Tennessee to be in on that until the end again.
That would be nice.
That would be cool. I'm not really sure where he fits into the current roster, but he's a five-star top 20 player.
I would say he fits in as our best big.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, I could see Brandon Huntley Hatfield being really, really good next year.
I could also see him transferring, so.
Yeah, I could too. I could see him just like leaving school and going pro.
Yeah. Be like, hey, the G League is cool. Let's try that.
Yeah.
Money. And, like that.
So, yeah, they're really in on Julian Phillips hard, and it sounds like it's going to go all the way through with them. So, hopefully they can get him. And I would imagine they would also want like another point guard.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say we need like a guy trying to probably step up in level of play that just wants to be on a good team. I don't know, kind of like a Antonio Barton was, although I guess he ended up kind of being a starter. But
I know that Tennessee reached out to Cam Hayes, the top 100 point guard that signed North Carolina State. I know Tennessee reached out to him originally when he entered the portal like 3 weeks ago. That was like before the NCAA tournament started.
Yeah, I could see him being a type of guy that would be okay playing 20 minutes a game or 15 minutes a game, but I don't know. We'll see. Because he had like fallen basically out of the rotation at North Carolina State, right?
I don't know. I don't know anything about him other than that he was like a top 100 guy.
I think he had pretty much fallen out of the rotation at North Carolina State at the end of the year.
So maybe he's not any good. I don't know.
He might not be. He might not be.
I think B.J. Edwards is probably pretty good. But, I mean, he's also going to be a freshman.
Yeah, I think we should temper our expectations. I mean, he might be good, but like I just don't know if we can count on every like freshman coming in here and being ready to play immediately. Yeah. Especially point guard. But we'll see. I do think we need point guard help, though, because I don't fully trust Zakai to handle the load all by himself. Like, I do think we need help there.
Yeah, I agree. We need some help at the one.
Any other Tennessee thoughts before we get to questions?
No.
I want to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Gramco. Gramco is a Delta 8 company founded by college football junkies just like us. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Delta 8, but you need to be. Gramco is an absolute leader in this field, and they've got phenomenal products, and they're hooking you up with a discount. Whether you want the wake and bake coffee, get your morning started off properly, or you want some gummies, that's what they've recommended for me. They know I got a little bit of a sleeping problem. I've talked about this, just the stress, the sorrow. You know what I go through. It's fine. I've had some trouble sleeping. You know that. And they said these gummies will get me relaxed, ready to sleep at night. They're the best on the market. And right now, they're giving it exclusive to you, the Ranch Gang. If you go to the Gramco, T-H-E, in case you can't spell the, Gram, G-R-A-M-C-O.com, use the promo code VOLS25, and they'll give you 25% off your order. Jump on this fast. Show up. Show out for us. You know we like to support people that support us. You're a fan of the podcast. You like me and Seth. Help us grow this podcast. You could do that. But, you know, if you're already using Delta 8, switch companies. Go to thegramco.com. Upgrade. Use the promo code VOLS25. At least take advantage of your 25% off your order. It's legal in Tennessee. No medical card is needed. Shipping is quick and discreet. You must be 21 or older to try. But again, thegramco.com. Use the promo code VOLS25. If you're unsure of what Delta 8 is, it's hemp-derived, and it produces the similar effects, basically, of what you get in wheat. Except it's legal. They won't get you locked up. Again, thegramcode.com. Use the promo code VOLS25. I know you got somebody in your life that wants to try it, so surprise them with a little gift. We appreciate them for their support. Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch if you want to join. Get access to the Discord. You got, I'm sure we'll do a baseball outing here soon. We're already getting ready for football tailgating. Maybe just down at Baton Rouge, Tiger Gate. Who knows? We're putting things together here. Florida as well. Don't forget Gator Gate. New patron. Shout out to new $5 patron, Jacob Harris.
Shout out to brother Jacob. We love you and appreciate you.
We love you very much, Jacob. Thank you. And that's it, Seth. Let's get to some questions.
Brother Dylan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big is this year's Florida game for Heupel?
It's a good question. It's a simple question. 8.5 is my thoughts here. 8.5.
Okay.
Because like, if it's a 10 importance, it means like you're getting fired if you lose it. And like, Heupel's not getting fired. Like, I don't think the season would go bad enough in year two where he'd get fired, right? So I can't give it a 10. It's fair or foul, Seth? Do you think it's Tennessee's best chance to beat Florida while Josh Heupel is here?
I would not say that anymore because Tennessee now has a game changer at quarterback with Nico.
Okay. So you don't think that Florida will get recruiting at that level of Billy Napier? Or
I don't know. I'm sure that they will.
Okay.
But I think that when you have somebody like Nico, I think that it just changes everything. And so who knows? I mean, who knows? Like, you know, they're not getting Arch Manning. They're not getting that really good quarterback from Michigan.
We agree that Tennessee will be favored this year, correct?
Yes.
Maybe not by much, but I think they'll be at least a 3.5 point favorite. Assuming we just don't look shitty against Pittsburgh, obviously.
Yeah. So I would put it at a 9.
I definitely think Heupel needs to get this win. It might not be his best opportunity, but it's one that he needs to win against a first-year head coach that we don't know how he's going to recruit at Florida.
Exactly. It's like this is the one time when you like...
You know you're going to have a better situation.
Though. Exactly. They're... You know what Florida has. Who knows what kind of... Napier might be a monster recruiter. He might be awesome. Who knows? But this year, you know what you have, and you really need to get this one. Because if you don't get this one, again, I'm not saying that you're not going to have a great chance again under hype, blah, blah, but if you don't get this one, like you have your quarterback back, you have your wide receiver back, I mean, you better get this one. So I say 9.
Okay, so we're kind of in lockstep. I said 8.5, you said 9. I mean, the fan base, obviously, like, people are really happy with the state of everything right now. Not to step on Brother Troy's question, but, like, people are really happy with just everything going on in Tennessee athletics right now. And you need to kind of keep that going. A loss to Florida would take the wind out of a lot of people's sail.
Yeah, I agree.
Would probably take the wind out of the team's sail, too, and then you turn around and have to go to LSU afterwards. So it's a huge, huge game.
Yeah, agree.
Speaking of Brother Troy's question, he asked, how much credit does Danny White deserve for all the positive momentum in almost every sport the last 2 years?
I mean, I don't give him much credit for basketball. I don't give him much credit for baseball, but I do give him credit for like $60 million for baseball renovations is a big deal.
And not only that, but I mean, like, you got tennis, you got a new track. Like, every sport got a little piece of that pie.
Yeah.
Which I think is nice. I think that's cool that, like, every sport's going to get some new stuff. Because every sport kind of deserves it right now. Every sport is kind of good. I didn't see any softball stuff, which they're not very good right now.
No, they are very good.
Oh, they're back to being good?
They just took 2 out of 3 at Florida, top 10 Florida. They're like, I don't know, they were ranked like 11th last week. Or they're top 15, and then they were 12th last week.
Apologies to the softball team if they're listening. I hadn't heard much about them this year. I thought they were kind of still in the decline from where the weeklies used to be. I mean, I know there's just the one weekly now, but I apologize, Seth. I know you are a go-to softball fan.
Okay, they're ranked 11th this week, so they moved up. They moved up 3 spots, I think. They went to Florida and took 2 out of 3 on the road, who's top 10.
How good 11th is. I feel like we're really lowering our expectations there. But no, you're right. So they're good, too. So I just didn't see them.
Well, they have arguably the best pitcher in the nation, and she pitched the very first weekend of the season, and then she did not come back until the Florida series. And she pitched 3 innings against Florida. So Ashley Rogers is finally back, and she's like I said, she's first team preseason All American. They've won 2 SEC
that's
road
the,
series
that's the
on
girl
the road.
From McMinn County, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to her.
They're good. I mean, they've won 2 road SEC series.
Okay, my bad. I didn't mean to shit on the softball team. I know you love them. My bad. So
I like Karen.
Point being, every team is good right now.
Yeah.
I give Danny credit for being able to raise money for everybody to get new stuff. That helps momentum.
Yeah. Also give him credit for he locked Tony down. I mean, He didn't lose Tony. He gave Tony $1.5 million.
He didn't lose Frank Anderson either.
Yeah. He gave Tony money to pay his assistant coaches, and he gave Tony $1.5 million a year. He's now top 3 in coaching, right? He's top 3, makes top 3 money, I think. Top 5 money for sure. He makes
How
more.
Sick do you think Missouri is seeing that?
Yeah, he makes more than most Major League Baseball managers. He makes more than a lot of professional baseball managers make. So I give Danny credit for the fundraising and for locking Tony down. And I mean, you have to give Danny credit for Josh Heupel. I can't even say it with a straight face.
And I gotta say, like, Dr. Danny has really kind of stayed out of the way, and you know, at least the last bit, like he hasn't played into the perception that I had of him at first. And he kind of, I think, did whenever he got here, of like he wanted to do a lot of public speaking and kind of always be seen and talking, but like he has kind of just laid back a little bit behind the scenes. I haven't seen him front and center in a lot of places. Am I wrong in that?
No, but I do give him, and this goes more not just to him, this goes to Boyd and Plowman and him. They go to a lot of UT events. Like, I'm not like, you know, like last year, for instance, when Tennessee played at South Carolina in baseball, I think Plowman and Boyd went to, and Danny White had to stay because the UT softball, because they were hosting the regional that weekend, but like they went and they toured South Carolina's baseball facilities to get an idea for what they wanted at UT. And now, you know, UT's building this massive complex in right field that's also going to house a dorm for baseball. Like, they're at a lot of things that aren't just football. Like, they, and I give them credit for that, because I mean, I think that, like, if you're the athletic director, you need to be at, you need to be at some of these things that more than just football and more than just home basketball games. And they go to, they go to road stuff a lot, so I give them credit for that. Randy Boyd obviously is just a, he just loves UT.
We're doing good. Everything looks pretty good.
It does. It's crazy. I mean, it yeah. I think Danny is obviously, I think he's good at his job.
And again, he doesn't annoy me like I thought he would. Maybe it's just because we're good at everything, but still.
Well, he's not, there's not as much Mickey Mouse kind of stuff lately either.
I know. Like I said, like everything seems very professionally ran right now.
It's like, instead of doing Mickey Mouse stuff, he's just like giving $60 million to the baseball stadium to renovate and building a huge facility out behind right field.
How big do you want Lindsey Nelson to get?
Not, I want it like 8 or 10K, 8K.
I kind of want it maxed out at 8.
8 or 9, yeah. And then the ability to like get 10 in there for a regional or something.
Yep, some standing room only stuff that we can extend it for the big series. But I don't want to go too big. Like, I don't know if we're ready to accommodate over 8,000 people for, you know, regular SEC series.
Yeah, you can just kind of keep building out, you know, kind of like what Mississippi State has done at Duty Noble Field. Like, you build it, you know, you build it to 8K, and then when you start selling that out for every SEC series, then let's, well, then we'll add more to it. I mean, I just don't think that, I think that 8, 10K is a good number right now. That crowd last night at that midweek game was awesome.
Yeah, no, like, I appreciated the people that went out there and supported the boys, you know, coming off of a big weekend. I'm ready to get some SEC play, you know, back at Lindsey Nelson.
It was a very impressive crowd last night.
All right, so KT sends in this New York Post story. Seth, have you read the story yet?
I have.
Okay, yes. So the he wants our thoughts on the story where the headline goes, "Best man steals bride from groom after confessing love in his wedding speech," which is a little misleading. The fake news New York Post is at it. But what did you make of the story? So it goes, this man is the best man of a wedding. And then, you know, 10 years ago, he's giving his speech and is a little intoxicated, as he said, and used the speech to tell the bride that he loved her. And then, you know, told the groom he loved him too. And then, you know, they end up together with 4 kids now.
Yeah, the whole story is just like, the guy's an asshole for doing it at this wedding, at the best man speech. Like,
we can agree with that, right? Like, at the very least, because there was some arguing in the Discord of whether or not he was in the wrong. But, like, if you make a best man speech and do that, at the very least, you're an asshole.
You're an asshole, dude. Like, what on earth are you doing?
Because the best man speech, the wedding is already over, by the way. Or not, you know, like, you've already done the ceremony. Like, I assume they had the moment where you could have spoke now or forever held your peace. Like,
yeah.
That's when the movies tell you you're supposed to do it, not yeah. The best man speech.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's a huge, just, yeah, I mean, like, what on earth are you doing?
And then later came back to dance with the girl and was asking her why she never gave him a chance at the wedding reception. Which I think is even a bigger asshole move.
Yeah. And it made it seem like, the headline made it seem like the woman left her first husband for the best man.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't like that. I mean, she divorced, you know, and
it was pretty quickly. They said they got divorced due to a lifestyle change, which I don't know what that means. She said the marriage didn't work out because the husband had a severe lifestyle change. I don't know if that means he was gay and changed his mind. If he just became a big alcoholic, if, you know, he was into drugs, or I don't know what other lifestyle changes you could have. But, like, basically, they were only, like, separated after that for, like, a year before, like, she was having a kid with this new guy. So, I mean, it's not that different. There wasn't that much time in between, in my opinion.
Yeah, she just seems like she can't make up her mind. She was like, it was out of nowhere when he kissed me. I didn't stop it. Then I kissed him back. It was out of nowhere, really? He professed his love to you. He professed his love to you at his best friend's wedding, and it's out of nowhere that now that you're single, he's kissed you?
And you're hanging out, watching movies. He's trying to take you to dinner. I don't think it's out of nowhere, toots.
Like, give me a break. Give me a break. Like, who believes that?
So you call the guy an asshole for doing it at the wedding. Is the guy an asshole in general for moving in on his, I guess, best friend's girl? Like, I don't know if he considers this guy a best friend, because the story kind of made it seem like him and the girl were friends first, and then they became friends kind of through him. I don't know exactly, but is he an asshole for moving in on his best friend's ex-wife? Tricky. It's
after
tricky.
You know, she's divorced or whatever, and the first husband, you know, we don't have both sides of the story.
Supposedly had a lifestyle change. I don't know what it means, but supposedly. Let's just assume this guy's wilding out and didn't want to be tied down. Because keep in mind, in this story, these people are like 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have been getting married if they had, you know, wild oats to sow or whatever.
And by all accounts, the new now husband like really is like head over heels in love with this girl. So
they seem very happy.
I don't
they have
call
four
him
beautiful
an,
kids.
I don't call him an asshole for moving in after. I mean, it's fair game. We're talking about marriage here. We're not talking about like this guy wants to marry this woman. Like
well, they married after he knocked her up. By the way, she got pregnant first.
They had a shotgun wedding.
Yeah. Okay. He got her pregnant. It's like, we might as well make this a legitimate family, just for the record. So
he was probably trying to trap her.
That might be actually what happened. He was not pulling out. He was ready to start a family and wanted to use that baby as a reason why.
So I don't really consider him an asshole for moving in after the fact. From what we know of the situation. But, dude, to do it at the best man speech after the wedding has taken place. Like, the vows have been recited. And now you're proclaiming your love before God and country. Like, what?
I'm torn on this because I do think ultimately you owe it to yourself to try your best to be happy as long as you're not hurting the people you love or that love you, right? Like, I think you owe it to yourself to try to do whatever you can to be happy. Now, I don't think you should hurt, again, the people you love. So, I mean, if you didn't love this best friend or didn't care to, you know, lose this best friend, then I guess it's one thing. But when I consider being a best man for somebody, like, that probably means you're pretty damn close in most situations, right?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine I could take any of my, let's just call 5 best friends and then end up with their ex. I just can't picture that.
It's definitely a hard, his journey, it's difficult for me to put my feet in his boots and to see myself taking that same journey.
I mean, he's kind of a pussy for not making a move before, but either way, that's what it sounds like to me. Like, they said they're best friends, and like, I mean, I don't know. You had plenty of time before the best man speech to make your move.
I mean, I love you dearly, John. I think that's, you know, that goes without saying at this point.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to be Eskimo brothers with you.
Well, that's offensive.
But there's just like...
I would love to have sex with any of your ex-girlfriends.
It's just, you know, I mean... It's a very difficult position to see myself in, like you said, you know, like it's really just hard to imagine doing that. But I don't necessarily consider him an ass. I consider the dude very weird, and there's something off about him. He's socially off. He's kind of like Jack Harlow. There's okay. Something wrong with this dude.
Yeah, you can't quite put your finger on it, but you know, a little creepy.
Yeah. Because, yeah, just the way he's acting, he's just not, he's not right. He's not acting right. You don't wait until the best man speech after the vows have been recited to profess your undying love to this, you know, I'm not going to call her a harlot, but.
It has been pointed out her name is Desiree. So, I mean, there's some people know. Connected some dots there.
You don't have to, I mean, look, yeah, that's true. It's really all you need to say.
He really played out the Billy Ray Cyrus could have been me song, except he actually went to the wedding and gave the speech.
He really didn't even have to wait that long either. I mean, only a year.
It's a year, yeah, it's nothing. It worked out the best for him.
I mean,
although, a little awkward about getting married, I would imagine they didn't have, another ceremony.
I would hope they didn't have a ceremony.
I would imagine not. And, it would be pretty tough to, face some of your friends and family, if you have any mutual friends.
Yeah. But, if you're him, you can't worry about things like that. He obviously doesn't worry about things like that because he did this stunt at the wedding.
He worried about it too much when he was sober. He was drunk, is what everyone said. He waited until he got all liquored up and emotional.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had someone that I love that I want to spend my life with get married, though. I've had ex-lovers get married, but nobody that's oh man, that was somebody I actually thought I was going to spend my life with. I don't know what that would do to you. I can't put myself in those shoes, I guess. You would feel like you're drowning or running out of time, but again, you have to do it beforehand. Guy seems like an asshole, and don't worry, Seth, I'll never make a move on any of your exes, and we won't be Eskimo bros, don't worry.
I still love you, though.
I love you, and I really don't think I could do it to any of my close friends.
Yeah, it's just, it's impossible situation to put myself in,
I think there's a cutoff of friendship, though, so only top 5% of my friends. And if you're at number 25 or something, I think it's a little fair game.
I agree with that because we're talking about marriage here.
Sure, this isn't just a hookup.
Yeah, we're talking about spending the rest of your life with someone, your partner, who you're going to live your life, every facet of your life with. So yeah, I agree with that.
And also just saying, I said, you owe it to yourself to try the best you can to be happy. As long as you're not hurting the people that love you. Which, I don't know this relationship with this guy, so I would like to... I would like his side of the story. Very strange that the New York Post ran this story, though. I don't understand why they, highlighted this. But I guess it got us talking and got us clicks, so...
Yeah.
Either way. Stats by Will wants to know, how confident are you in a series win against Vanderbilt? He's worried something's going to go wrong there.
75%.
I would say 75-80% as well. Yeah. We're definitely getting one. I'm 100% confident we're getting one.
Yeah, for sure.
But 80% sure we're going to get two, maybe three. CB asks, would you rather sleep in jeans for the rest of your life or have to sleep on a recliner and wear whatever you want?
I'm sleeping in jeans.
You're sleeping in jeans?
Yeah.
In this scenario, is a recliner it's not supposed to be good, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to say, can I just get a couch instead? But, yeah, obviously the recliner's supposed to be bad. I hate sleeping in recliners. But there could be some big, nice ones that don't, fold up whenever you're moving around. I'm picturing, a big beanbag type of recliner. It's got the beanbag fabric, you know what I mean? The real nice felt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't close up when you move, though. Sleeping in jeans sounds miserable. But you're picking jeans?
I'm picking jeans, yeah. I don't want to sleep in a recliner.
No, that would be too miserable, right?
Yes, I agree.
But I can't sleep with really any clothes on. Imagine you're bedding your woman, Seth, and you have to get up and put jeans back on before you go to sleep. I'd much rather just have to get up and go to the recliner. Maybe get a big recliner so you can sleep there too.
I just don't have to sleep in a recliner, man. I just don't want to.
I sleep on my stomach, so I'm thinking it's almost impossible to sleep on your stomach in a recliner.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
It would also hurt to have the button of the jeans pushed up against you too.
Yeah.
It's a real lose-lose situation.
Maybe you get some elastic jeans.
I was thinking about that. They got some different type of jeans, but I'm picturing really tight Wranglers is what I feel you have to sleep in. I think we just have to go with jeans, though, because a recliner, I hate recliners so much.
Yeah, I can't sleep in a recliner every night.
All right, anything else?
Brother Techball would like to, he would like to know, what is Tennessee's basketball ceiling?
Oh.
I say Final Four.
I mean, if your son's the Final Four, you can win a national championship.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's just...
I think Tennessee basketball can win a national championship. I think we could have won the national championship this year. I think there's been other years where we could have won a national championship. Now, like, will we be title favorites going in? You know, that might be a little bit different, but, like, there's been years where we've been a one or two seed.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is, yeah, I mean.
Tennessee basketball is a top, should be a top 15 program. It should be a top 15 team every year.
Agree.
Can you eventually become Villanova? Like, why not? What's Villanova got that you don't
have? Like, why can Tennessee not be Baylor?
Right, like Baylor, for God's sake. I mean, like, that school's been through it all. Like, the basketball program had, like, guys kill each other.
Yeah.
Literally.
Why can Tennessee not be Baylor? Why can Tennessee not do what Florida did? Like.
So, yeah, Tennessee can win a national championship for sure.
Yep.
But I think we're a top 15 team.
Like, it should be easier to win basketball games at Tennessee than Baylor.
Yeah.
So there, that's my answer.
Ryan Shannon wants to know your level of excitement for the World Cup. Team USA is going all the way to the World Cup. We qualified.
How about Italy? How about Italy not qualifying?
That's two in a row for them, right?
Yeah, and in between that, they won the Euros.
Mamma mia.
They won the Euros last year and are not going to the World Cup.
It'd be like that sometimes. I feel like if you win the Euros, you should automatically qualify.
Yeah, you should automatically get in, yeah. I saw that America qualified last night.
Yep. Yeah. Well, really, they qualified when they beat, was it Panama a couple nights ago?
Okay. Yeah, I mean.
They just had to, like, stay within six last night, which obviously in almost any soccer game, you can stay within six.
It's going to suck, kind of, because I imagine that the games are going to be, like, at 1 a.m. here.
No. Actually, no. I was looking this up, and the earliest it'll be is 5 a.m.
Okay.
5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11, and, like, 3, I think, is kind of what it broke down to.
Okay.
Because they're having to play, like, those games at Cutter, like, at, like, 10 p.m. local.
Because of the heat?
I guess. Which, I mean, not all because of the heat, I guess, because, like, you know, they are playing at 1 p.m. as well at times. Yeah. But they're having to play in November because of the heat. But, no, like, yeah. Some of the TV slots, like, the latest they'll play here, at least in the Eastern time zone, is 3 p.m.
Okay.
So it's not awful. It's not, like, middle of the night. You'll at least get to watch them. Again, unless you're watching it, like, if you're in the 5 a.m. time slot, that would kind of suck.
Yeah, okay. So that won't be too bad then.
Yeah, which I don't know if they'll give – I don't know if we would classify as getting, like – I don't know if they do, like, Olympic stuff where you get better TV treatment if you're a bigger brand. I don't even know if we would be a bigger brand. I don't know what the TV audience, if it really matters. I mean, I would think it would be pretty good.
Well, for ESPN, it would.
Yeah, right. But I don't know if they get the pool, like, with FIFA or whatever.
Yeah. In terms of excitement level, it's in November, right?
It is in November.
Well, I'll still be focused on Brother Hendon slinging that rock in November, Ryan.
November 21st, I believe, is the first set of games, though. Like, that's going to be pretty good timing, like, right in the middle of the week, around Thanksgiving, NFL, college basketball, college football. Like, it's going to be a sports
feast. Bonanza.
Yeah. I loved the 2014 World Cup. I remember going out and drinking and watching it with friends. It was fun. Now, it might be a little bit tougher this go around, but.
It's weird that it's in November.
Right now, Ryan, I am probably, like Seth said, probably like a 4 out of 10. But by the time it comes in November, I'll be like a 9. USA! USA! Do you have any go-to on a good double date idea? Wheezy, a.k.a. Marwan, a.k.a. the Palestinian Playboy wants to know. I guess the Palestinian Playboy is not very good at picking his own dates.
Do the elephant walk. You can do the elephant walk with your, you know.
What the fuck is the elephant walk?
You just look it up.
Elephant walk. An elephant walk is an Air Force term for the taxiing of military aircraft right before takeoff when they're in close formation. I'm guessing that's not it. Let's go into Urban Dictionary. You were sent here. Not what you think. Do not look up elephant walk. What the hell is happening here? I don't. Just tell me what. I don't know what it is.
Marwan, the Palestinian Playboy, he can just use that as a launch pad to get some good ideas for his double date.
Often used for hazing, where a group of guys form a straight line and grab the erect penis of the guy in the back of them with one hand. and put their thumb in the sphincter of the guy in front of them. It's a double date, but I assume there's going to be two girls there, Seth. But what a crass thing for you to suggest.
Money, that's more bros.
What a crass thing for you to suggest.
It was just an idea. It was just an idea.
I hope your sisters were listening to that. I mean, just like go bowling, bro, or go to a bar.
Don't go bowling, dude. Have some self-respect and don't go bowling. No, bowling sucks. We've been over this. Bowling is terrible. The only person that likes bowling is Zach.
I like bowling.
You like bowling?
I like bowling.
The last time I went bowling was with you.
I know, but that point I hadn't started throwing the curveball and then my thumb hurt, so I just complained a lot because I broke my thumb twice, as you may know.
Yeah, dude.
And like it hurts to go bowling, but now I don't use my thumb anymore, so now I'm okay. I like bowling again. Let's go sit on a patio and drink.
Just fellowship.
Maybe a little Battle of the Sexes. Buy a board game and just play some Battle of the Sexes. Guys versus girls.
There you go. It's easy.
Maybe a little Truth or Dare.
Maybe a little Elephant Walking.
Never Have I Ever. Yeah, there you go. Play a little Never Have I Ever. Let's see how good you guys really know each other. A little Truth or Dare. After a couple glasses of wine, maybe that goes into Truth or Sexual Dare. Just take it from there. See what happens. Or an elephant walk. Seth seems really into that. Anything else, Seth?
No. Brother Will wants to know who our least annoying potential basketball champion is. I go with Villanova.
Villanova for sure. I like Jay Wright.
Yeah, Villanova. It's just like
don't really care for any of their players, but I like Jay Wright.
I don't even know any other players besides the Gillespie, who's like in his 10th year.
I'm pretty sure there's another Archinado over there too as well, or whatever the fuck his name is.
And I did know the guy that tore his Achilles.
Well, he's gone now. Win it for him. Villanova.
There you go.
Any predictions for WrestleMania weekend this weekend, Seth?
I don't have any.
Wait. Is WrestleMania this weekend or next weekend? I think it's this weekend. You have no predictions?
I do not.
Yeah, it's this weekend. Okay. Well, we'll do a recap on Sunday. Love you. Have a good weekend, my friend.
I love you too, buddy. Bye-bye.
See ya.
I hear you just got married. Took a month long, hard and long. And you rubbed smiles at the wedding. And you cried when you kissed the ring. I got no invitation. I guess the mailman didn't bring it to me. But I see the whole thing in slow motion. Every night as I try to sleep. My buddy John said you looked real pretty. And you acted like you were in love. He said the preacher asked for objections. And he thought about standing up. I told John he must have been crazy. Cause you were just about to say hey, I do. He just gave me a wink and said all he could think. Cause it could have been. I ever told you that I went out and bought you a ring. I even carried it around in my pocket, waiting to say the right thing. I pulled it out the other day, but the diamond had lost its shine. Well, I know how it feels, cause my eyes grow dim when I think you could have. Could have been me. see.